Welcome, Saints of God, to our second Sunday morning video broadcast of the service for this, the fourth Sunday in Lent. At the time of this recording, our government authorities have put a quarantine order out, basically asking people to stay at home while the coronavirus passes over us. While this quarantine is in effect, we will continue to videotape the Lenten midweek services on the Book of Job and our Sunday morning services. We are praying for a quick end to this quarantine so that we can celebrate Holy Week, culminating on the day of the resurrection on the first full week of April. It doesn't look promising at this time, but we will be reevaluating the situation around the 1st of April. The pastors and elders are also discussing a way to distribute Holy Communion to you. During the next week, we would like you to purchase a wine of your choice and bread or crackers, if possible, and set the table for Holy Communion in your home. Pastor Matt and I will consecrate the elements during the service. We will send out instructions regarding our practice on Holy Communion so that it will be done with the greatest respect. This is a temporary solution to our current situation. There is no precedent of which we are aware for this action, but we all felt that it was important enough to find a way to bring not only the Word of God to you, but the sacrament as well. Please refer to your emails for updates on the coronavirus, or check out the church's website at www.mybslc.org. We will do our best to stay current. If you need to reach us, call the church and leave a message with your name and number. We will be checking voice messages throughout the day. Let us now begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it,
who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it.
I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations.
To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness.
In the darkness of the world around us, and amid our own blindness to His will and ways, God calls us to confess our sins.
Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
Let us take a moment of silent reflection and self-examination. God of God, light of light.
We confess that by nature we are sinful and unclean, born in darkness. We are often blind to your word and your work in our lives, sinning against you and against one another in thought, word, and deed. For the sake of Jesus, who is the light of the world, forgive me all my sins, that my eyes may be opened and my heart enlightened to look to you in faith and in hope.
And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. Through His death on the cross, Jesus Christ has shined His eternal light of forgiveness, peace, and life on you. So in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we remain in darkness without your light, and we walk in blindness if you do not lead. Even in our times of comfort in the darkness and times of willful blindness, you shine your light of truth and call us your children of light, that we may see and live in your grace. Help us to acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for all your blessings, and with eyes of faith, look to you always that we serve you and others in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our worship continues with readings from Holy Scripture. The Old Testament reading for this Sunday comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. And I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, you are our gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as a servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. And this is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. With you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And now as he passed by, Jesus saw a man, blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. Well, so they said to him, then how are your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He responded, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees asked him again and how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue worship with the singing of our sermon hymn.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of our Lutheran pastors received a call from a group that wanted to take a survey about his church. It started with the usual demographic questions, but then some of the questions, in his opinion, became quite silly. How often do you teach the members of your congregation to be kind to other Christians? How often do you teach the members of your congregation to be kind to the unchurched? As he repeatedly told the young lady, I couldn't answer those types of questions. I generally don't preach specific sermons on being kind to each other or the unchurched, because it's what we do as faithful Christians. He continued, that's not to say we don't need reminders to be kind. Sometimes we do. But one goal of every sermon I preach is to remind God's people that they're different than unbelievers around them. And this encompasses their entire life. Once you were like unbelievers, you were darkness, but no longer. Now you've been called by God, and this means that you are a child of light. I'm sure many of you remember Stephen Colbert of the Colbert Report on TV. Colbert was interviewing Bart Ehrman, a respected New Testament scholar who studied under F.F. Bruce, an even more respected New Testament scholar. Ehrman had expressed doubts about Jesus' divinity in his writings. He had questioned the very scriptures he had spent his life studying, which caused a whiplash in the Christian scholarly community. Colbert asked him a brilliant question. He said, what is the son of a duck? The answer being, of course, a duck. Paul is drawing a similarly obvious familial connection here. If the Ephesians, if we are in the Lord, then they and we are children of God and children of light. Light is the nature of our identity, and that should determine how we walk about. In other words, how we live, what we think, feel, say, and do. I believe it is a fundamental error to treat Christians as if they were still complete unbelievers. Look at what Paul does in the epistle for today. A few verses before our reading, Paul had listed what the Ephesian Christians used to be: immoral, covetous, impure, crude jokers, and filthy-minded. He brings this up because what they were was a problem. Paul is asserting without compromise, those who live in this way are not saved. Paul says that they have, quote, no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. This sounds harsh, and it is, but it's also true. Those who do not believe are, as Paul describes, darkness. They're not in the dark, but they're actually darkness because they're lacking the light of Christ. The Ephesian Christians were like any other unbeliever before, but now they're different. Paul says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. When these Ephesians were brought to faith, they were enlightened by Christ. He dispelled the darkness of their hearts and minds and souls. He shone his light into their lives, and he showed them a new way of life, a life centered on him. The verse in quotations toward the end of this passage is unknown in Scripture. Possibly it was part of his baptismal liturgy. Paul recites it because it is dead on. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It describes how Christ awakens people with his light and gives them life. One of the questions that the young lady asked the pastor, mentioned at the beginning, was, how often do you ask people to make a commitment to Christ? He told her, never. He continued, I explained, maybe more than she wanted to hear, that we don't make a commitment to Jesus. He makes one to us. And that's why we're changed. Not because we decided to change, but because he changed us. He is the light of the world, God's one and only Son, our Savior. He came to a dark, dark world, preaching the gospel, preaching light to darkened souls. In the gospel for today, he opened the eyes of the blind man and gave him sight. But he did so much more than that. Did you catch what happened when he met Jesus the second time? He fell down and worshiped him. This is the result of a shining light piercing the darkness of sin and unbelief. This man would never again be the same, and not just because he was given sight, but because Christ had given him light. God's light changes people. All of this would have been for nothing had Jesus not continued his ministry of light by dying on the cross and plunging the world into darkness. The light of the world was extinguished ever so briefly to show the extent of God's wrath on sin and unbelief. The darkness was thick and impenetrable for 3 hours. And then the sun came out. This sunlight, though, paled in comparison to the light of the risen Christ 3 days later. That light will never again be extinguished or darkened, and it is that light which shines in you. Paul's words were written a very long time ago, but the truth of his message hasn't changed. And this is what I want you to know today. Because of the darkness in which you once lived, you were destined to be shut out of heaven. You were darkness. You had no right to the inheritance waiting in heaven. But that's not true anymore. You've been brought to faith, so you are no longer darkness. You are light. The light of Christ has been laser-like focused on your dark lives, and he has opened your eyes to his light, which gives life and which gives you the inheritance of the kingdom of God. It's all yours. No ifs, no ands, no buts. His light gives you forgiveness and a new existence even now. Paul puts it this way, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Once upon a time you were unaware of your sin. Once upon a time you were oblivious of God's desires. Those days are gone. You can now see your sin. You know when you've sinned, but that's not the end of it. You can also see that you are forgiven, and now you know what is well-pleasing in God's eyes. The devil, of course, wants you to walk in darkness and to embrace what you once were, just like he was tempting the Ephesians to do. Christ, though, enables you to walk in light, and he walks with you. He walks with you to reveal his perfect goodness, righteousness, and truth that is now in you. His death and resurrection has changed you, and he has done it all. And now you demonstrate the fruit of his light in the way that you live. To be the light means that our walk in this life is different. If you live in the dark, you will stumble and fall. Imagine for a minute what it would be like to be blind in a new city, but not have a cane, a dog, or a companion. It would be a terrible experience. But when you can see, when you walk in the light, you know you're going to be safe. Fear is dispelled, and not the devil, a virus, a persecution of any type will be able to take that light and life away from you. This is why Paul says, "Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness." We must remember that there is no Christian twilight where dark and light coexist. We can't walk in light and dark. We walk only as children of light, as we seek what is good, right, and true. It's not easy, but the Holy Spirit leads us to God's Word, where we can discern how God wants us to live. We no longer embrace the activities of the dark. Rather, we expose them for what they are, death and destruction. We shine the light of Christ as we expose the practices of darkness, the abuse of the innocent, and the mistreatment of the vulnerable. We expose the evil of this world for what it is, and the damage it is doing to our children and to future generations. We live as children of the light really for two reasons. First, so that God's light in us might chastise those still in the dark. This chastisement is not our doing, but God's. By walking in the light, we pray that they will see the darkness of their lives and come to know Jesus as the one who offers them the same light that shines in us. The same light that changed the way we live, no longer groping in the darkness, no longer living in the twilight of relativism, but walking in goodness, righteousness, and truth. We also walk as children of the light in order to support and encourage other Christians in their walk. We want our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to know they are not alone, that not only are we with them, but Jesus continues to shine his light on them. By his grace, we all walk in the light, and by his grace, we will never again live in the dark. Having reflected on the pastor's conversation with the woman on the phone, I guess I have sort of told you to be nice to others. But there's so much more to it than that, and I hope you've heard it. Jesus has shown the light of forgiveness on you, and now you are the children of light. This means, yes, we are nice to others, but more than that, our entire lives are different. We show our light not to display how wonderful we are, but to show how wonderful God is. As St. Peter said in his first letter, "Let your light shine so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This is what we do, and may God grant us his grace to always shine the light he has given to us. Amen.
let us confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father, mighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, shine your light of mercy and grace into our darkened hearts of sin, and eyes blinded to your will and ways, so that we know the fullness of your forgiveness, life, and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healing, Lord, shine your light of peace and healing to all who seek relief, for the sick and dying, for those troubled physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, and for the grieving and the dying, that your comfort may be known. We pray especially for Herb Mueller, former district president of the Southern Illinois District, who is near death. Grant your peace which passes all understanding, knowing that he is a beloved child of light. We also pray for Randy Morton, Bob Morton's brother, who awaits results of a biopsy. We especially pray for those who struggle with the coronavirus. We pray that you would give them speedily healing and keep all safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of all nations, shine your light to all places in this world and to the leaders of cities, states, and countries, that your light guide and direct them so that peace be had and justice faithfully served. Give courage and diligence to all who work to defend liberties and life, and to those who speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Be with them as they make impactful decisions in the wake of this global pandemic. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the Church, shine your light upon all who have enabled to speak and proclaim your word. Be with our congregation, that we remain united in truth, love, faith, and service. Give courage to live as your witnesses, that many who remain in darkness rejoice in the light of truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of all goodness, you have ordered our lives for your glory and have given us a multitude of blessings. We pray and thank you for Hannah Lloyd Huseman, Brandon Rust, John Rust, and Sam Williams, who celebrate their birthdays this week. We thank you that you have given them this life, that they may proclaim your name and walk as children of light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of all seasons, in this season of Lent, shine your light upon us as we examine ourselves, see our sins, and know our need for our Savior. As we continue to follow Christ to the cross, draw our hearts and minds to you and the joys that await. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. The Lord bless you and keep you. I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In the paths that they have not known, I will guide them. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you all his peace. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. We conclude our worship with our closing song, Walk in the Light.